Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick note from Greg, the teams in his top 12 are a combined 37-0. The losers have been washed out. All that remain are the winners.
But we only rank the top 12, and we've only played 3 weeks of the season, and 3 times 12 is 36. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. I will want to say that the one thing that I pull for the most on a Saturday is that the Greg Pomp Game of the Week ends up being a game worth your entertainment time. Bangers only last week. We considered 3. Notre Dame, A&M, which was our pick, Georgia, Tennessee, Clemson, Georgia Tech, all 3 delivered. All 3 came down to one play at the end of the game. Shows me we're thinking about the right games to present to you. Now, we got a light slate this week in quantity, but we've got 2 games that really piqued my interest that we'll get to shortly. Number 12, Iowa State.
Ooh, Matt Campbell.
New friends, not just new friends, new conference. We finally have some representation from a 4th conference, being the XII. Now, they are taking advantage of the head start. They had the week 0 win in Farmageddon. Cy-Hawk win over Iowa coming up. They have a bye week before they open up, or not really open up. I'm sorry about the Kansas State game, but they have a bye before Arizona,
right,
who's also 3-0. Mm-hmm. Number 11, another new friend, Georgia Tech. Bees!
55-yard nuke to win the game against Clemson. And they did the run him on the field as the clock's ticking, and no pressure. He just strokes it.
Yeah.
Fire drill field goal. By the way, that's a school record, 55-yarder. I've got a soft spot in my heart for an engineering school. And yes, what a win against Clemson.
They're terrible. Who thought they were going to be any good?
Yeah. Can I interest you?
At least you have a win.
In Haynes King, dark horse Heisman candidate.
He's a warrior, man.
Supplanted Clemson, most importantly, in the ACC pecking order. They are playing Temple coming up this week. Number 10 is Oregon. Here's the million-dollar question for the Ducks. Are they punished for their own success, or are they beating up on a bunch of tomato cans? The opponents that they've played have 0 FBS wins to their credit. Going to play another one of those teams. They've got the Civil War this week with Oregon State coming to Eugene, who's ranked 105th.
Yeah, and they're 35-point favorites in that rivalry game. Like, Oregon's a team I think could be the best in the country. I just can't prove it yet because they haven't played anybody. Now it's Penn State in 2 weeks, and that game is in Happy Valley at night for a whiteout. There's no hiding with the schedule anymore.
No, and you know who might be there?
You?
No.
Who?
Lucy.
Lucy.
Yeah, she's going to go there. I think she's already got her tickets, and because one of her high school friends that she met across the country is there, and she's going
to
be there for the whiteout.
She's
like, Dad. She's like, Dad, should I go? I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Can I go with you? Sorry, busy.
Number 9. How about USC? Another new friend. Look, this, we're meeting new friends. This is like college rush week. Solid but unspectacular wins. I don't expect a lot of future ROI in that Purdue win. They're going to be dictated by the future of their schedule in the Big Ten. Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, Oregon, all on the future schedule for USC. And we talked about it. Michigan State, who's ranked 51st, they host this week at the Coliseum.
This one is just hard to figure out. Like, you're trying to figure out if Oregon's any good. We're trying to figure out if USC is any good. Beating up on Purdue, while Purdue may be a little bit marginally better than last year, they still allowed 17 points. Now, one of them was kind of a fluky touchdown, but they gave up over 300 yards passing to their quarterback, Ryan Brown. But the question last year was USC be able to run the ball? Could they be physical up front? They ran the ball for 178 yards. That's a feather in their cap. But again, like, trying to prove Oregon, I don't know if I can prove that USC is any good yet.
Yeah, moving on to the middle third. Number 8, more new friends, guys. Auburn. An interesting note on them. Preseason had a win total of 7.5, but the payout was -170 to the over. So that's like Vegas telling me they expect this team to be closer to 8 wins in a very difficult SEC. They've got the Baylor win in their back pocket from week 1. Baylor's won twice since that game.
But
they are headed to Norman, And we're headed back to Norman.
Oh.
The Jackson Arnold revenge game.
Yeah, this is sneaky, sneaky good game. But it, you mentioned that the over-under was 7.5 games. Okay, they won the three games, much like we're talking about Michigan State, Baylor, Ball State, South Alabama. Their next four, number 11, Oklahoma, Greg Palm game of the week, number 10, Texas A&M, number 5, Georgia, Missouri. They still have games against Vandy, Alabama. I mean, throw in Mercer there. All right, so they're going to get four. This is a tough stretch. We'll find out more.
3-0 versus 3-0. So a lot of weighted wins at stake here early in the season. And we got to shake out a very highly competitive SEC. And Jim, you nailed it. Last year, Oklahoma's quarterback was Jackson Arnold. He transferred to Auburn. He's coming back to Norman. And in my trip to Oklahoma 2 weeks ago, there was some talk of good riddance Jackson Arnold. And we have a quarterback now. Number 7, Texas A&M. Credit to them, man. They just kept hanging in with Notre Dame. Looked bad early. They had a blocked punt return for a touchdown. They were down 10 in the second quarter. Hung in there. Took advantage of a critical mistake and made a play on fourth and goal. Coming up this week, they've got a bye before playing Auburn. Number 6 is Miami of Florida. Look, didn't mess around with South Florida. Put some cold water on that story. We're moving on to Florida.
Noteworthy win, and I think their defensive line is championship caliber. They got a proven quarterback. I think they are in the list of teams that can win it all.
Number 5 is Penn State. With the preseason expectations fading here now, we're just being left a little bit more and more with Penn State with an unimpressive non-conference slate. Doesn't mean they're good, just means they're a little more unproven. Nevada, FIU, Villanova, kind of similar to the Oregon problem we're having here. And they are off this week before they are playing, hosting Oregon in that whiteout game. Number 4 is Georgia, here to the top third of the rankings. Another team with another gutty road win. Wild ebbs and flows in that game in Knoxville. He had UT up 14 in the first quarter. Georgia storms back to take a 6-point lead. They trade back and forth, huge shots down the field. Gunnar Stockton, a touchdown pass on 4th and 6 and the game. And not to mention, UT misses a game-winning 43-yard field goal attempt in an era when college kickers have never been more accurate. And then Georgia wins it in overtime. Once again, they have also a bye week. Does anybody want to work anymore before Alabama comes between the hedges?
I don't know, but Georgia, they are, as you already mentioned it, so close to not being in this, or at least not being where they are. I picked them last week because I thought that their defense, given up 7 and 6 in their first two games. Now, look at the opponents. But I am shocked that this Georgia defense is as bad as they appear to be.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Number 3, we got the Ole Miss Rebels. They are carried by the strength of 2 conference wins over teams who have 2 wins early in the season. So we got that win stacking early with them. Now, here's an interesting fact about them. If you remove the preseason factor, so we're talking about weighted games above 500 based on results from 2025 only, Ole Miss is tied for 2nd in the country with, ironically, their Egg Bowl brethren, Mississippi State. Fun fact, would you guys like to guess who is number 1?
LSU.
John.
Not even going to venture a guess.
NC State. They are 3-0 against 3 teams with 2 wins apiece. So undefeated outside of the games that NC State has played.
Now, yeah. I want to clarify, because of the weighting, you're not going to put Mississippi State 2 and NC State 1 here.
Correct.
Okay.
Remember. This is why we still factor in preseason expectations here. Game of the week consideration here. They're hosting Tulane, who I have 17th in the rankings.
The Green Wave.
And the highest Group of 5 team. The only thing that prevented me from naming this game was the Jackson-Arnold drama in Auburn, Oklahoma. And this game is still a bit of a free roll for Tulane. They can win this, or they can lose this game and still, you know, 11-1, 10-2, still
stuff.
Get in the
yes.
playoff.
Okay. Who's number two?
Number two, LSU. Have we considered their best win might be Louisiana Tech? hey, they beat Florida in a solid game. That's all I'll say before Brian Kelly yells at me.
How dare you start with our offensive ineptitude?
Right.
The story of that game, though, was their defense. And Blake Baker, their DC, is going to be a head coach after this season. That was a masterclass.
The story of their whole season, so to this point, is their defense.
Number one, the Ohio State is number one, still at 3-0. Look, had a clunky game against arch rival Ohio. Hey, man, take a number. That's college football. You're not going to get your team up every week. Penn State had a game like that in week two. Michigan had a game like that against New Mexico in week one. It happens. The Texas win is still lifting them up. Once again, another team that's on a bye before they go to the West Coast and play Washington.
So just a little clerical correction here. Is it the or is it the?
Well, he's not going to do the.
But you know, so if you do the, you have to actually say the TM.
Well, I think the is just because it's the next word's a vowel. So that's why they say the instead of the.
Oh, okay.
I would say an Ohio State University personally.
So recapping, five SEC teams, four Big Ten schools, two from the ACC. And we finally have a Big 12 team in Greg Palm. We're getting to the point now where your resume matters. The wins yep. you have are more important than what we thought you might be preseason. That's Greg Palm. It's 97.1.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.